Kingdom greetings, everyone. God bless you all for being on the call with us today. We are so grateful for your energy, your time. So let me start with prayer. Eternal God, our Father, we bless your name. We glorify you. We magnify you, Master. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Father, for everything that you've provided in our life up to and including grace and mercy, food, shelter, health and strength, a clarity of mind. We thank you, Father. We didn't deserve it, nor did we earn it, but you saw fit to allow us to remain. And so for that, we thank you. We glorify you for the Black Wall Street family and all those who are in the leadership class, our supporting members, our patrons, our administration, our interns, and everyone who has contributed to this overall movement. God, we thank you, Father, for them. And God, we ask a special blessing and over those who are in bereavement, those who are suffering illnesses. Watch over them, God. Give them strength, God. Let them and remind them that there is hope in you for their full and complete recovery. God, we ask a special blessing, God, for the Remenoy family down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, as they embark, God, on a new venture, the Greenwood Plaza. We are so proud of that family. Covered Brother Remenoy and Sister Remenoy and their three sons. Touch all of our Black Wall Street family all over the globe. We also thank you for our new members, Father, for coming aboard and being a part of this monumental movement. And all these things we ask. Christ's name, amen, amen, and amen. All right, today, and thank you for everyone who's on and those who will be coming. Once again, Brother Daly, and as he warned us last week, he won't be with us because of a lot of things that transition even into March, and he's dealing with contractors and those who are affected by the cuts that have been handed down by the modern-day Pharaoh. And so I would that if you're on the call now, this today will be either a review of what Brother Daly has taught us, or you could just share with us some of the things that you have learned through the lecture series and or through the tutorials that take place on Saturday. Speaking of which, last Saturday's listened in to the Texas team, and I was so encouraged by what I heard and what I saw. And just a shout out to Black Wall Street, Texas, under the leadership of the great Dr. Janice Little. So I'm going to decrease here, and I'm going to let y'all have it. Now, if you need to get off and go do some things, we understand. But this hour is usually, and I'm on the road, everybody, so I'm not at home. So if you want to stay on and share projects with each other, I know we have some new members that have joined us. And that's awesome. I'm looking to see, and you just give me a minute. I'm trying to scroll to see if I see any of the my team members. I'm looking for, let's see, Brother Beasley, Sister Kane. Oh, there's Brother Reese. Okay. But at any rate, I really want to just share with you that we are so happy to now include in our Black Wall Street District family, Black Wall Street, Augusta, Georgia. Black Wall Street, Augusta, Georgia. Let's see, Brother Lawrence L. Freeman, Jr., out of Augusta. The Spirit struck him to start the process to establish a district there. And I would encourage you, you could visit blackwallstreet.org/Augusta. Augusta. And check it out. Check out the latest on the development of that district. And maybe I'm not going to scroll through all these names. So when he comes on, if he's on, he can share briefly what he's doing. Let's see here. So we're going to go in open mode here. And thanks everybody for coming on. Anybody could just jump in if you have any questions or comments or something positive happening. Let's do this. Let's talk about something that's positive that's happening with someone else that you know. Someone else that's doing something in the community that you personally does not benefit from. And you can see their handiwork. You can see God's hand all over them. Let's go that route today. And then next Monday, Brother Daly assures me that we will start discussing e-commerce. And that e-commerce, if it's done right, levels the playing field for all those who have entrepreneurial aspirations and in the throes of entrepreneur endeavors. All right. So the floor is open. Can you guys hear me? Is this quiet? Did I take it off? Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. This is Dr. Little chiming in.
All right. God bless you.
To share something good that's not directly impacting myself. What I'll share is I have a friend who was laid off, and now he is actually in full entrepreneur mode, and I'm super excited because he has a skill set that he can share with the world, which he's a graphic designer, and so he is open for business and full mode of entrepreneur. So that's one good thing that I know is happening in our community here in Texas.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Little. Okay. Anyone else?
What's beautiful about that is how he looked at the skill set that he had that he probably never would have took into consideration except he was in this position. And now he can thrive. That's nice.
Yeah. I do know go ahead, brother.
No, I was just going to say every crisis represents an opportunity. You know, God never leaves us stuck. You know, when things get tough and when things get hard, look at what God has been training you for over the years, and that becomes a skill set. You know, look inside and look for the passion that you have. That becomes a volunteer skill set. You know, I mean, we have skills a lot of times that we don't recognize, but God has been training us for years and honing those skills. And then when a crisis presents itself, it's really an opportunity to move into our true place.
That is correct. God's man's extremity is God's opportunity. And that's why it's so important. That's why it's so important that we stay in the spirit. I'm so grateful that our leaders are you know, being obedient to the word, not necessarily Dr. Carter, but the word, when they have their Zooms and their meetings, conference calls, that they recognize those seven spirits, because without them, you know, we are nothing. We are nothing. And John 15, being connected to the true vine, we are nothing if we're not connected to the very life source of this universe. And so, yeah, anyone else want to talk about something that someone else in their life is doing that you yourself are not benefiting from? Anyone else? I know you know a lot of people. Come on, network people. I know you're out there. Share with us today. Anybody? I don't want to start calling names now, because some of y'all, I recognize your name. I know that I dropped that on you, but that's a good thing to do in life when you talk about something someone else is doing that does not involve a benefit to yourself. Anyone? Sister Rahima, I'll start with you. You know a lot of people.
I knew you were going to do that. And I know.
Yeah,
I know,
yeah.
I'm racking my brain trying to think of one. But I know plenty of that. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see. Well, I know somebody who is starting a school for children, and I volunteered a couple of days to help, but I think I was dismissed. And the next thing I knew, the sister who was sick, she was sick that day, and she couldn't come in, so she asked me to, you know, help out. But then I think he told her to go and take me, you know, dismiss me. So she came and said, well, the health department or somebody was coming and they have to check the building. We're not supposed to be there. We have to go. And so because it was like the first week of the school. And so I had to, but I noticed that I was the only one who left. I mean, but some parents came, but, and then the next thing I knew, about 3 months later, she had quit because she couldn't take it. So she had quit. But I was hoping that it would benefit all of the children, but what I saw was such a cultural divide that it made it kind of difficult. Yes, it was difficult to, you know, I basically, you know, I saw things that, and I suggested these to these men, and I think that's what happened. I suggested to these men that, because one had left his job to get this boy into the school, but the way he was talking, I could tell that wasn't the mother, you know, it was just a big, and I was trying to give him some advice. You know, you have to include all of the children or you're going to cause hardship in the family. And then the other brother, his wife came. I think she was an immigrant, you know, the one to cover up everything but the eyes. And she would come and just sit and wouldn't do anything with the boy. But the man was happy, you know, he was happy. But I saw some little things that I tried to get them to, but they couldn't handle that, you know, because they understand everything and they're in control of everything. So it was kind of difficult to, you know, work with that group. And now I'm inviting them to come to our community. I mean, he almost invited himself. He's from Houston. But he, you know, they want our children in their school because the money is there for them to go, and that helps, you know, with them making money and building their school and all that. But how does that benefit our children? You know, the things that the cultural divide that I see is kind of sad. So That's my one of my things. Thanks for letting me share. I feel
okay.
Better about that out of my
Well, awesome. All right, next. Who wants to share next? Anyone?
I was talking to a lady that I met by reference in Memphis, and she has an organization called Pearl that works with veterans and getting veterans homes. And and I connected her with an apartment complex that this gentleman that I know just bought an apartment complex that had 98 units in Memphis, and I was looking to fill them and was really opening it up to veterans and willing to make whatever modifications, you know, to support the veterans, especially with the special needs or, you know, the community center. So I connected him with this young lady that I had met who has a business where she actually has about 22 veterans in transitional homes. And so she was able to call up my friend with the apartment complex this past Friday. And they're working out an arrangement where she's going to fill the 98 units. And he's going to turn the whole thing into a veterans village. And
wow.
That was pretty good, you know. Yeah. And so she's coordinating with other organizations similar to her own. And she already has 30 apartments filled of the 98. And so she's coordinating with other organizations, and they're going to turn the whole 98 unit into a veterans village and to be able to get them off the streets and to get them into homes. That's pretty nice. It's pretty nice. And so she's really happy about that. She's really happy. And the apartment complex, of course, is happy because they was trying to figure out how do I get, you know, fill up these 98 units. But those two coming together, they're going to have a veterans village in Memphis.
That is amazing. Veterans and reentry are the, and then shelters for victims of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a Zoom call yesterday. No, what's today? Monday? No, Friday. I'm sorry. My days, when you travel, days get jumbled. But anyway, we were talking about the need for housing across the board in the Black community. And, those areas for all communities, because there's domestic violence in all races, veteran homelessness, and lack of medical support in all races. And, you know, I would that you guys understand God has called mainly our ancestors, but now us, the children of our ancestors, to a calling that goes over and beyond race. It goes right directly to the heart. And so they said that, you know, there's not enough housing and safe houses for those who are dealing with domestic violence. There's not enough housing for veterans. And so certainly there's not enough housing for those who are released from prison. And so it's amazing that you shared that, Brother Rick, because that right there alone, the Spirit of the Lord put this on my heart to do, not just with the Black Wall Street family, but all other organizations I'm a part of, when we have a sit down like this or Zoom. And that's what I asked them on Friday. I said, can you name somebody that's doing something in the community where you yourself does not benefit directly? And my mind just began to get flooded with people because, you know, Black Wall Street, that's mostly what we're made of, people who are doing things for others with no personal benefit. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Let me add to that, Dr. Carter, real quick. The reason I called her, I had a list of folks I was just going to call and see if I could connect to this apartment complex. But what's amazing is how God connects people in a divine connection. And so I called a couple of folks and was like, And then when I called her, there was a divine connection. But it actually took me saying, okay, let me call. That kind of feeling.
Right.
But realizing that God makes a connection for you beyond us.
Yeah.
If we're willing to take that step. And so when I called her, she was on this other Zoom call, and I was just telling her a little bit about the apartment complex. She said, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. She said, that is what I had been praying for the night before.
Mm.
And I said, wow. Back to you.
Well, you know, when it comes to connection, a lot of our connections, and we, as it applies to the Most High God, is made before we even arrive on this planet.
Mm.
So everybody take into account your mother and your father. That's a connection. It's not like God came to you before you took on human flesh and said, all right, now look over there. See her? That's going to be your mama. Do you want her? He didn't say, look over there. That's going to be your daddy. Do you want it? He didn't give us that option. So you see your life as a series of manifestations.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's all life is. It's a series of and so you want to be on the right side of those manifestations that glorify God. I was listening to the Texas Zoom yesterday, I think it was, and they were talking about mentoring and interns, and a young new member. I went on and put him on the Texas Council. I'm sure that's what Dr. Little wanted. But anyway, a bright young brother, Brother Williams, I think his name is, Brother Derek, and how they was coming together on having those young men. Well, first of all, Dr. Little described the meeting she set up through her business with a elected official. And then they said, okay, we could take it a step further. See, all of that right there, those parents may not have known Dr. Little 5 years ago. But God knew that at some point, Dr. Little would meet the parents, he would meet the young man, and she even said, I can't teach him how to be a man. And I'm so glad she said that, because I hear mothers all the time say, I'm a mother and a father. No, you're a mother, and you're the best mother there is to your child, but you're not a father. Stop saying that. That's a lie that goes in the flies in the face of God. He didn't make it that way. You're the best mother ever. You're not a mother and a father. That's a lie. And the same thing with father. I'm a father and a mother, but no, you're not. You're the best father ever. You just don't have a mother in your daughter's life. But when she said that, and when they got together on future meetings and things of that nature, that really stayed with me, that a lot of what we see in our life, God had already preordained. But just the other side of it, we, in life, you miss what God preordained, because sometimes we take a detour. Just got to have that last drink. We got to have that last gambling, or that last sin, or that last whatever, to take us off the path of what God had already preordained. And so, yeah, something to that, brother. And that's just, so basically, don't be afraid of their faces. I knew you before you was formed in your mother's womb. And so what is he saying? He basically saying, before your mother was formed, I anointed you. Before your mother's mother was born, I anointed you. So this is nothing new to God. This thing is nothing new to him. It's new to us. And isn't it wonderful when you finally see something that's been in your spirit, been in your heart, years, is manifesting. And sometimes it feels like deja vu. Wait, have I been here before? Well, yeah. When God conceived it, you know. So that's beautiful. That is beautiful. And I'm so happy to hear, you know, Brother Rick, when I think about the veterans, I think of Brother Manning that on Dr. Little's council there in Texas. And
oh, yeah.
So humble. Oh, my God, that brother. I just, see, that's the type of brother I like to learn from, you know. And
yes.
And so he was talking about his veterans program, and so when you mentioned that just brought, and then there are several members who are veterans. Mr. Walker's a veteran. We got quite a few in Black Wall Street that you'll eventually meet. So many of them. It's a lot. There's a lot of them. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else want to chime in? Because I certainly will let you go early, because I really need to preach three times yesterday, and I need some rest. I need to take a nap.
And yes, sir.
If I don't take a nap, the nap gonna take me. It's gonna take me. I'm so tired. Ooh, man.
Well, I'll say one thing from last week, the brother that was on talking about emergency management, you know, it's amazing the information that's out there that we don't have that, that of course, Brother Daly, you know, brings to us. But that information, I mean, emergency management and how deep that is and how needed that is. And he mentioned that if a person wants to take some training and become an information emergency manager specialist, there's some classes that they can take, you know, FEMA classes, EMI classes, and it's because it's an emerging career field. And so for a person to say, especially somebody that may be moving from, you know, the government jobs or any jobs, whatever there, and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to take these classes, and I'm going to become an emergency specialist, emergency management specialist, so that when they have these tornadoes, hurricanes, fires, I'm going to be, you know, Johnny on the spot, right? And as he was talking, you know, we talk travel, I said, you know what, a person could become an emergency management travel specialist and say, hey, you got 175,000 people displaced in Los Angeles, I'll help them get into whatever, you know, as a travel specialist, you know, because it's, the travel side is access to that industry to be able to apply it to emergency management. You need to fly these people over here. You need this, you know, whatever they need, you have access to be able to do that. And so another thing was neurodiversity. As he was talking, I was thinking about neurodiversity, autism, you know, PTSD. And so we are working with these folks as a neurodiversity travel specialist. You know, they're helping families that have children with autism to understand how to travel with their kids or adults. And then, of course, being able to work with the industry, making sure that they're accommodating people with neurodiversity and making those regulatory changes, because we do hotel inspections, we do ship inspections. But being able to associate travel specialists with whatever your thing is, whatever your passion is, and then all the travel thing you're doing is giving you access to an industry to now monetize and make money in an industry. But I was just thinking about that as the brother was talking about emergency management and how big that is. And so people that are being displaced from different jobs, God hasn't displaced you. He's just moving you to where you need to be. You know, and when you look at it from that perspective, now, okay, Lord, what would you have for me to do? You know, what tools?
Man, you're going to make me preach, Rick.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Now,
on your heart.
Let me bless y'all right quick. Now, y'all remember when Christ had thought the multitude, sent the multitude away, and he took the disciples to himself on the boat out there on the water, and the storm started to kick up. And now remember, we're talking about travel, so they were on boats, so they missed the lesson previously to the storm, because Christ was teaching all of the judgments and statutes of God to the multitude. But he expounded with the disciples. What does that mean? That means he broke down everything. Now, can you imagine being in that seminary class? But when the storm began to rage, they missed it altogether. The text says that, and according to Mark, the only synoptic gospel writer that actually gave a clear description of what Christ was doing when he was in the stern part of the ship, or the hinder part, depending on your translation. Either one of them words, stern, hinder. So he was, according to Mark, he had his head on a pillow. He said, as he said, and I quote, he was asleep with his head on a pillow, which denotes comfort. Now, it's not a pillow if the water got down into the hinder part, because if a pillow gets filled up with water, it's no longer a pillow. It's just a mat. So that meant the water hadn't got to Jesus yet. So they still didn't get it. So they were in their flesh when they asked Christ, "Care us not if we perish." They had to wake him up in the middle of a storm. So what that means is, even though the storm was raging while they were traveling, it didn't wake up Christ. It took a disciple to wake him up. Now, here's the part they missed. They missed the part that now, if Christ hadn't woke up yet, and he taught us all of these kingdom principles, then we need to sit down and ride this out with him. Because after all, of the kinetic energy, all of the wind, all of the water, all of these things he made and has control over. So if he has control over it and it ain't bothering him, we need to chill out.
Uh-oh.
But they missed it. So the lesson is this. Just because you go to church every Sunday does not mean you are a kingdom citizen. Let me say that again. Just because you go to church, just because you sit under a pastor, you on time for Sunday school and Bible study and all the rest of it, does not mean you are a kingdom citizen. That does not equate to that. And so that means you can go to church every Sunday and still miss it. Still miss the principle. Still miss the edict. Still miss the statute. Still miss the judgment. Still miss the lesson that God is teaching. And so now I'm going to say something on the travel piece. When you talk about FEMA and BEMA, travel is a big... Rick, you remember when the Gulf War... What was the name of Dick Cheney's construction company? Because you know that's why he's vice president, so he get that contract.
What was it?
You know what? Man, every aspect from moving the earth movers to all of the materials, the machinery, everything they needed involved what? Travel. Even when the people were displaced in Iraq, they had something in place to put them somewhere else, whether it was Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, wherever. It all involved a level of travel. Halliburton made, man, listen, before the war started, they put in the bid. I mean, these boys, bro, they got it all worked out. Now, listen. We're going to tear up this country, and we're going to need to rebuild it. So we're going to be on both sides of it. We're going to put the bid in before the war starts. That's what they did. Y'all remember that? The 90s. And so those people who were displaced had to go somewhere. Halliburton had the contract. So we're living in a world where global warming is real. It's not a joke. It's not like fake and folly. It's real. So hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, floods, tsunamis, all of these things will require the movement of masses of people. In some cases, hundreds of thousands of that. What was that tsunami that killed 200,000 people? Was that on the Indian Ocean? Yep, sure was. All them people died. But then you still had hundreds. Probably three or four times as many people who were displaced. Okay? So what Brother Charles was teaching us last week, and I pray that you guys become a member of that organization, go to his website, you know, call the brother, you know, and get even more information. Because you can, like Brother Reese said, you can carve out your niche in catastrophe. Okay, and it's not taking advantage. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen anyway. It's not just hospitality, travel, and other things, but there are other things that you can, based on your skill set, that you can do, because it's not gonna stop. Yeah, it's gonna continue. But at any rate, okay. All right. Anybody else want to chime in?
And it takes the passion. What has God been preparing you for? What is your passion?
Right.
You know, what is your gift?
Right.
that thing that you do better than anybody else without even trying. And people have been saying all your life that, you know, you are good at this. It may be, as Brian Chicken, it may be now is the time to look inside and say, okay, this is the gift that I have. And then, Lord, how do I use this gift and apply this gift, you know, to be able to create an income? A lot of times people don't make money because they're not working in their gifting. They're working over here. But when they shift back to that gift, that thing that God has put back inside of them, you know, to serve to the world, you know, now, you know, he gives them favor, you know, and they're able to actually make, we're never stuck.
Well, may I add to that?
Yes.
And what I see, you know, it kind of reminds me of the Buffalo Soldiers, you know, and their job of moving the people along the Trail of Tears. And also getting back to what about the positive thing that somebody's doing that I have am not benefiting from, like where Billy Parker's place is, a man who was displaced as a principal of a school, Dr. Clark, Lancaster Academy, the white folks didn't want him to have it, but anyway, they finally got rid of him. And now, first he went into drama and all of that, and then he went back home and decided he was going to be a farmer. So he has, you know, probably the only place in North Tulsa where you can get a real chicken, you know, and some, well, not so, we can get some real eggs, but a real chicken. And then the Billy has decided, and he has a lot of vegetables naturally grown. Now, Billy has decided she's going to grow some chickens. She already has, she's doing honey. And then there's a church in Baptist that has some land right on that same strip, Osage Drive. And I can see that whole area becoming an area for natural food for our people. You know, so it gets back to what y'all saying. If you just have the vision to be able to see it, you can make things happen, you know, that you wouldn't have expected. You know, like my grandson, he was talking about how he likes sales, but every time he goes into a job, like now I think he's working for somebody like Cox or something, and they'll put him on the pole because he's good at that. But he wants to go into sales. And I know this is what they do. In auto mechanics, they do the same thing. They'll let us work on the batteries and stuff where you don't make any money, and let the other boys work on the motor or whatever that you can make money. I mean, I just heard them talking and knew what they were doing. So it is a good time to open up your ears and eyes and think of what's going on in the world, how much is changing. We can just jump right in. So these two, that crisis management. And there was another one. I'm definitely going to
talk neurodiversity.
About that. Right. I'm telling my family about that. Thank you so much.
And, you know, one of the keys
is access.
Yes, and businesses that give you access to the industry. Not just travel, but looking at businesses that give you access to the services of the industry and the wealth of an industry without limitation. Without restriction.
Right.
And then being able to use those businesses based on your passion, the thing that you'd like to do, the thing that you'd love to do, the things you've been gifted to do, the things that you may have been brought in this earth to serve. And then with that business that gives you access, putting those two together, Lord have mercy. Right. We are never stuck.
Right. We're with your caring heart because a lot of people don't.
With your caring heart. Ooh, that's good. Ooh, that's power right there. That caring heart is power.
Yeah.
That knocks down walls. Lord have mercy.
Well, you know, the neurodiversity that you mentioned, Brother Reese, and so now that you mentioned that, I'm going to give you the task. Go to blackwallstreet.org/autism. Well, Dr. Rhonda Parker out of Mesquite, Texas, God put it on my heart to highlight that initiative. And you should see the work that the interns have put together so far. So now I'm going to give you the task of putting something together regarding the protocol. It really should be protocol. You know, we shouldn't have to pass a law to build a ramp for people in wheelchairs. Come on, man. That ought to, again, caring heart. So I'm going to give you the task to write a principle, a bullet point, however you want to do it, on what it should look like when a child or a person with autism boards a bus, boards a plane, boards a boat, because that piece is not there. Now, we got everything there. They use AI, they use everything. They got the statistics, they got how to become a part of the movement, how to get involved, donate, all of these different things. Don't have a travel piece. So,
it's already done. It's already done.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Neurodiversity travel.
Go ahead.
No, go. No, I was just saying neurodiversity travel is something we do.
Right. Well, there's a community center not far from my home that deals with autism and those neurodiversity, those with the challenges. And I really, you know, when you look at it, they got more sense than people that don't have autism and ADHD and all the rest. But anyway, McDonald's, they're brilliant. McDonald's has a program where they allow them to come in with their escort or their aide, and they work a couple hours a day. You know what they do? They come in. Because I'm at McDonald's, if I go get the coffee, or if I don't feel like going to Starbucks, I'll go get a little piece of coffee from there. And they come in early, and they just wipe down the little play area where the kids play. Just something simple, but it gives them, you know, a sense of being. You know, you should see the excitement on their face when they get out the van and they about to go in there. You know, but the rest of them folk in there, you know, they don't want to go to work. But these guys, and it's about four or five of them, and they come in, they wash the windows, they do, but they feel good about themselves, you know. And I give kudos to although I'm boycotting them, I give kudos to McDonald's for that. So we need to have our own program where we're calling it. It's not something. It's not a bugaboo. It's not a myth. It's real. Autism is real, and not only that, but more people are being diagnosed today with it than ever before.
Adults too.
Absolutely. So the stigma level is going down because now people are understanding. Okay, now we understand what's going on. So there you go. That's the assignment for you, Brother Reese, and the kids get it to the web team, and they'll put it up on the it's got to be at least 20-25 pages just devoted to autism. And there's not that many people that I don't know that have family members who have family members. I do.
Well, it's an interesting thing to travel with autism and children with autism, and that's something that we actually work on and have procedures for, because they're left out, you know, when you're looking at neurodiversity travel and traveling with groups, because typically when they travel and if they're with a group of other people, then, you know, of course, they have special needs. Sometimes they have to do, you know, time out or different things. And so we take that into account. And so a person actually can become a neurodiversity travel specialist, you know, where they're catering to the market. You know, there's always something out there that you can look at and say, okay, how do I cater to this specific market because their needs are going unmet? And so neurodiversity is one of those. And so we're looking at it from the traveler perspective, but also in talking to the hotels and the cruise ships, and say, okay, here's how you could better accommodate the needs of people who are traveling with diverse neurodiversity. And so those two are coming together. But this is actually something that we're doing. So, I'll provide the information because that's something we're doing. We're slicing and dicing the access to the travel industry based on whatever a person's passion is. So this is not just, you know, just willy-nilly network marketing. No, this is being able to take the access that we normally don't have, you know, to an industry, mm-hmm. saying, okay, how can I use this to benefit the people? And it's the people that step up have different specific areas. Like one of the ladies that's on the team here, she has two children that have autism. And so she started a company called Bright Beginnings. And so when she came into the travel business, she basically is using her experience raising these two children to be successful, you know, in what they're, you know, in with autism. And then looking at the travel piece to give her access to now actually open up a new area, teaching people that have kids with the same kind of, you know, I don't want to say disability, but neurodiversity ability, special ability, to now travel, because she had to do that with her kids. And so we're just talking neurodiversity.
Would you do me?
Everybody on this. Everybody on this call.
Not
has
to cut
something.
No, no, not to cut you off, but I would love for you to connect her with Dr. Parker. And so if you got a pen, let me give you her number.
She actually just called me. Okay, I'm ready.
Oh, did okay, 469-279-4198. That's Dr. Rhonda Parker.
Okay.
Yeah, we want her in Black Wall Street. We want her in Black Wall Street because she's doing it firsthand. And Dr. Parker's daughter works with her. She went to school, came back home, and so she's working with her mom in the Parker Center down there. And pray for Dr. Parker that she gets a building with that when you know for the building to speed up God's speed to so that she can have a new building for the autism Parker Autism Center. But I told her, I said, you don't need no building. And see, what you shared, Brother Rick, with regards to people's passions and designing the travel program, really what you're doing is what Christ did with the boys on the water. You're making people fishermen of men. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
That principle, people, you can never lose. When you do it the Lord's way. And he saw them boys out there and said, all right, now I see what's going on with these cats. So let me teach them some spiritual principles that result in economic success. Okay? Mm-hmm. But it has spiritual principles. Fishermen of men, he used what they did for a profession for kingdom building. Mm-hmm. And so that is at the root. Huh? And tell them from now, that is at the root of what Black Wall Street USA is about. We're not going to change anything you do in your life, especially when it comes to your God-given gift. But what we will do is advance it, enhance it, and elevate it. See? And so when I think of what you're saying regarding making these, you know, advisory modifications for those to address those in that world, that's precisely what Christ did. I ain't talking about this Church of God in Christ, blue, black, Baptist foolishness. I ain't talking about none of that. Because, again, just because you go to church don't mean you're a kingdom citizen. And I told a church not too long ago, I said, the majority of you in here, it was about 800 of them in the church sanctuary. I said, the majority of you in here are just church folk through tradition. You're not kingdom citizens. When you open your mouth and start talking about yourself first, you're a church person. But when you talk about God first, now you're kingdom citizen, because he's first. So when it comes to addressing the needs of our people, God always uses those who are operating in their God-given gift. Just look around Black Wall Street, USA. And the people that are so, majority of you I've never met. I don't need to meet you. I met your God-given gift. And there is no one allowed to modify, tamper with, manipulate. You can't do it because it's a God-given gift. So when you apply that, that's when you become a king citizen. And one preacher walked up to me after worship. Said, Dr. Carter, I've been a church person. He was in his 70s. I've been a church person all my life. I ain't gonna lie. I said, confession is good for the soul. Now humble yourself and accept your kingdom citizen divine heavenly card, brother. Come on in. So, God bless you. God bless all of you.
Amen.
God bless you.
But we're never stuck. We're never stuck. Never mm-hmm. see yourself as being stuck, because the gift, the gifting that God has given you, that's how we actually earn our income, operating in that gifting, operating in that talent, operating in that skill, walking in purpose, on purpose. And God, asking him, and he will reveal it to you. You know, what should I be doing? Okay, I lost my job over here. And Dr. Little was saying, the gentleman said, hey, you know, I can do graphic art. You know, that's a gifting. Now, Father, give me favor. Give me favor with the people, with your people. And then God gives you favor, and then, of course, you begin to prosper. Show me how. What's my first step, Lord? And he shows you that first step.
Right.
What must I do to serve your people? And then he shows you. And you go one step at a time. But he opens it up, and it's a revelation. It's a revelation knowledge. And then he takes that gift with the revelation knowledge to service the people.
You know, it just gives my brain more joy to my heart when I look around the Black Wall Street family and all of these different initiatives, all of these things that literally come from the heart. I mean, don't get me wrong. We got stuff that just come from our head, too, because we're human. But those things that come from the heart that causes you to create a group that deals with, you know, parenting, fatherhood, motherhood, kids in sports, tutoring, after-school programs. I mean, you know, things that, because you live it, you do it. You know, and I look at Billy Parker down there in Tulsa and what she's doing at the Black. If you ever in Tulsa, I encourage you to go to the Black Wall Street Market, because you will see this lady just operating in her gift from every side. And so you multiply that by thousands of people in Black Wall Street, USA. That's the vision. That's the vision. So you, what a shame for someone to live a long life and never truly operate in their God-given gift. They mimic it. They're doing something somebody else doing. And so we can't limit God to say, oh, there could only be one, you know, Ida B. Wells, or one Frederick Douglass or Nat Turner. No. When God gives you a gift, that's your gift and your gift alone. Whether there was 130 billion people who ever lived on this planet since the first human took their first breath, because that's about how many it was so far, 130 billion human beings. Every single human being had a special God-given gift that nobody before them, during them, or after could do. So that's why can't nobody talk you out of what's burning inside of you. You got to flush them. Go on with that. Because, see, God gave it to me, not you. You can't do nothing with it. People mimic. They try. I done sat on a lot of preachers. He don't need to be up in here putting on the show because he's trying to sound like somebody else. No, you don't need to do that. Because God is so great in what he does. Every star in this universe is unique unto its own. And there are trillions of them. So what would make you think he's not going to give a uniqueness gift? Oh, Lord have mercy. To you! Of course he is. Of course he is. Huh? So what you pray for every day is, Lord, help me maintain my walk in my gift. And those who are around me. Because people not operating in their gift, them are the ones getting on your nerves. Then the ones you want to divorce, then the ones you want. As soon as that boy get 17 years old, 360 days, I give him 5 days. He got to go. So people getting on your nerves around you are people who are not operating in their gift. That's why they're getting on your nerves. That's why they're annoying you, irritating you, because they're not operating in their gift. And if they even to detect that you operate in yours, which they see every day, then, you know, they become envious and haters. When all they got to do is just say, Lord, like Brother Rick just said, Lord, stir it up. Stir up the gift.
Stir it up. Lord, have mercy.
Stir it up in me. Stir it like Big Mama used to stir them hominy grits that had the texture of cream of wheat. Stir it up in me. Set me on fire. Give me a little nudge. See, that's what he did with Moses. Everybody talking about trying to guess what Moses' gift. You know what Moses' gift was? Listening. That was his gift. He wasn't loud like Aaron. He wasn't smart, you know. I mean, even though he went to the best school, he still, you know, was a dullard. But his best gift was listening, and more importantly, listening to God. So God called his name twice, Moses, Moses. And he said, because he was with his father-in-law's sheep, around there with Jethro's sheep. It became a flock when Moses had it. It's a herd when they were Jethro. So he said, God said, Moses, Moses, and God just started talking to him. And finally, after Moses said, the word I, seven times, God shut him off and said, now, who do I say sent me? And God told Moses, I am that I am. That's what he told Moses. And you got to listen closely. But then God said, tell the people, I am sent you. Now, y'all say, well, what's the difference? For God to tell Moses, I am that I am, sent you, that was a special session right there where Moses honed in his gift of listening. Because who did he tell the people that sent him? I am. Y'all ain't listening. You ain't listening to this. Huh? Look, let me tell you something. When the fire is in the bush and the bush is not on fire, from now on you have the spiritual authority to say, hello, God, I see your handy. You ain't got to guess. You ain't got to look for no magician. You ain't got to look for no, you know, bells and whistles and smoke and mirrors. If that bush has got fire in it and it ain't catching on fire, ain't nobody doing that but God. So you can say, hello, God, I see you. I see you. I see you. I recognize your power right here in this space. Listening. That was his greatest gift. So, Lord, have mercy. I ain't through from yesterday, y'all. Y'all better let me go take a nap. See, this is what happened when I don't
get you can't lay off a gift. You can't lay off a gift. Hey, you can't lay me off. But you can't lay off my gift. All you do is move me into my place of power.
Right.
You know, because I was misstepping over here anyhow. Now you're moving me into my place of power because you can't lay off my gifting. And see, when the world tried to take over, the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. You move into your
gifting. Can't take it away.
Now, and see, you can't take it away. Take it away.
There it is.
My God. So y'all keep on recognizing the gifts in other people and what they're doing. Please do, because when you see people operating their gift, you're really looking in the mirror, you know, and the body gets tired with carnal and flesh, but the spirit is powerful and it goes beyond our physical lifetime. We're doing what we're doing, Black Wall Street Movement, because of the lives of people who... We are their future. We are O.W. Gurley's future generation. Lula Williams, John Wood, Edward P. McKay, Emma Gurley, O.W. Gurley. We are their, B.C. Franklin, the lawyer, we are their future generation. They operated in their gift back then when we didn't have not even a fraction. They didn't have a fraction of what we have today.
Okay.
So just imagine if we continue to tap into, you know, our people operate in our gift. And that's, I really thank God for today. Even for the few that are on here, I want to just bring this brother on. Brother Freeman, can you hear me, Brother Freeman?
Yes, sir, Pastor, I hear you.
God bless you, brother. You with the Black Wall. This is our newest member, founder, president, Black Wall Street, Augusta. It's his. God gave him the vision. He etched out the area. He lives in that area, in the district. Brother Freeman, just briefly share your God-given gift, brother. Because he always calling me with people that got gifts, I'm telling you. But go ahead, brother.
Yes, Grand Rise, everyone. My name is Lawrence Lamont Freeman Jr., and I am the regional inflammation administrator for Southeast Region for Black Wall Street, and also I am the founder of Black Wall Street Augusta. What God gave me, thank y'all for this opportunity to join. God gave me in my spirit back when I went, when I was Googling the surfing the web, because I got my family from Durham, North Carolina. My mom is from Durham, North Carolina. That's where she was born at. And I saw they had a Black Wall Street up there, and it was closed. And I wanted to know about it. So I called and called and called. Then I had called. Then I had seen Black Wall Street USA. That's when my man Dr. Carter hooked up. By last year, it been nudging at me, but I couldn't do no more, you know, because I seen things going on in Augusta. Augusta has history. Down here in Augusta, Georgia, I don't know if y'all remember, heard of the talk of Miss Lucy Craft Laney. She's the mother of the children. Lucy, the school is called, it's the oldest Black school, history and heritage. Lucy C. Laney High School Wildcats. It was formerly known as Haynes Institute. Haynes Institute started out in a house with Reverend C.T. Walker. And then they brought C.T. Walker School. Then they brought Laney High School all together. And also what we're doing, we got the golden blocks down here. That's Laney Walker. It goes all the way from up to down. If y'all heard of the street called Medical College of Georgia, MCG, where it goes, runs all the way down, and it's got rich history. That's where James Brown used to shine shoes at. That's where we used to have the Lenox Theater. So we got history. So what I'm planning, what I'm not planning, what I'm doing in right now is putting teams together so we could go and take back what the devil stole. Because, see, we had, like I was doing research on justice for Mama Randall and Mama, Lord, forgive me, Fletcher, Mother Fletcher, and Uncle Hughes, and Mama Hughes, and Uncle Hughes. They still owe. That's due. All our ancestors, they owe them. So we're going to the enemy's camp and take back what the devil stole. And that's what God put in my heart. He said, why wait? Go ahead and do it today. So that's what I'm doing right now. And I've been talking with some mayor. We got a Black mayor here in Augusta. So he wants me to come on the 11th to speak to the Chamber of Commerce. I mean, to the not Chamber of Commerce, but to the Commissioner Board, because he said he's been in his spirit. He's been talking to people about doing, but everybody was slow to do. I call them armagongs. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Until we stop being armagongs and say, write the vision, make the plan, and step out on faith.
Yes, sir.
That's what we got to do.
Yes, sir.
Because
I'm going to use that, man. I'm going to use that, Doug.
So we got them. We got them. Yes. See, up in our community, see, it's no reason why we owe the IRS some money. And we pulled up in the second largest city in Georgia. We were pulled up in the capital. But they allow folks to come in and steal. And now they owe Augusta, owe the IRS. So why? He was in there stealing, reason their pockets. When these big contractors come in, y'all guess what they do? Well, if you let us do it, Mr. Commissioner, we'll grease your palm. Reason of the palm, standing up for what's right, because they'll tell you all this, that, and the other while you're voting, and we try to buy the vote. You vote for me, I'm going to do this. Then where you work for me and help me. So guess what? Things never did. And I've been here all my life. I've seen them come. I've seen them go. Because we have black businessmen, funeral home directors on, and make it so bad, we had Pilgrim Insurance. Black, y'all can Google it, Pilgrim Insurance. And they moved up to, they merged with another company in Atlanta with a bigger firm that are standing their ground. So I want to bring back insurance companies, growth and development, also schools to teach our young, because they're taking away. We used to have a place where I used to go to called on Conklin Avenue, the Bethlehem Community Center. That's where I grew up at. And go there and play and have feed the kids and have lunch and play on the playground and have arts and crafts. We don't have that no more. They taking away the funding for Head Start. And yes, I play Santa Claus for Head Start and all black kids. And when I do that, they were like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. So just to see them faces and them tears of joy and happy, you just like me, Santa. You know? So, and not only that, we got authors. We have book writers here. Look how James Brown, musician. He changed the whole way of the music, and also that are going to get the promoters. James Brown said, well, we gonna cut help them out. I could do this myself, and he had more money that way. And also we had Sandlot. I don't know if y'all know the word of Sandlot. The black baseball leagues, they call them Sandlot leagues. Well, we have black folks to go in and black guys who like playing basketball. Well, they came together and bought a piece of property on Walton Way where the Sears building was. And they Sears came in, Sears and Roebuck came in and stuck a store right there on top of it. Not only that, they tore down our theater where our music, like Cab Calloway, all the good people used to come in, the black singers used to come, they tore all that down. Because we got sports musicians. Oh, that's been years.
Yep.
So we got sports, musicians, actors, book writers, and look, they looking for a hub. And I talk to them all the time because my cousins, they went to the Augusta Business Theater, started at, and they tried to take away our black on Langley Walker Boulevard, the Golden Block, called the Wallace Branch Library. They tried to take that away. MCG and the Masters tried to take Langley Walker Boulevard away. But no way, we all came together, and we blocked that. So we all need to come back together and build up Black Wall Street from the ground up.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell y'all something. I welcome, from the sound of my voice and everybody on this phone, you might as well call me the mayor of Augusta. And I welcome y'all to Augusta, Georgia. Come in. I give y'all a tour to anywhere, to the museums. It's time for us to take on and take back black and go back Black Wall Street. And also, to sum it all up, the state representative, Representative Gloria Frazier from last year, I talked with her people, and they want me to come to on Legislation Day. On one of the legislation days up at the state capitol in Atlanta, Georgia, They want me to come speak on my disability of my music that I got because I'm an advocate for the disabled. And you know what I'm going to do? While I'm there and God bless me with a chance, because they're giving me a whole day. And I'm going to advertise Black Wall Street. That's going to be at the state capitol up there in Atlanta, Georgia, on one of their legislation days. And I'm going to let y'all know, because I want all our brothers and sisters dressed up, fluid through. Come get your T-shirts. I have T-shirt designers. If you can't go to somewhere and make your T-shirt with your district, or if you need us to make your district, I have all the logos. And I just want to see Black Wall Street flood the state capitol. And what I'm planning to do is have them to announce. Because when we walk through on legislation day, they make an announcement. And then what God put in my spirit, Dr. Carter, Pastor, and all y'all, every one of my brothers and sisters, to do a Black Wall Street Teen Council, where our young generation can start out, high school, middle school, because we take the high schools to the state capitol, right, for legislation day, and they become pages. And the state representative for this district, they'll pay them to be pages to run errands down on the floor while they discussing. They dress up in their black and white, or they can wear a suit. I'm not going to change the way of thinking, so I already got the schools advocated for that, and I just want to turn it back over to y'all. Thank y'all for y'all time.
Thank you for your ideas.
Dr. Carter? So what cities we have on? Let me ask you a question. What cities and states we have on the board on the phone today with Black Wall Street?
Oklahoma.
I got a cousin in Oklahoma. I've been trying to tell him, and he said that Oklahoma's the part where he at. It ain't number white, so they said they ain't gonna let me bring it up there.
Tulsa not that big. He can come on up to North Tulsa. I'm asking is North Tulsa. You're right. They took Greenwood, right?
Right.
The Gap Band talks about it. Greenwood, Archer, and Pine starts right there. Downtown ends right there. Uptown starts right there. So I need his name to get him busy.
Because he's a retired Sergeant Major.
He's a retired what?
Sergeant Major, and he right there at Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
Oh, he's in Fort Sill. Yeah, he's a little distance away. Yeah.
So I said, well, what do y'all have for the blacks? He said, man, these rednecks ain't going to let nobody come up in here and do nothing like that.
He can come to North Tulsa and do. That's where most of us are, in North Tulsa and Oklahoma City. He can come right down here and help us. He can work. People can go work jobs out of their city, out of their town. He can come right on over here.
Amen. I make sure I put in the word.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now.
Can you guys hear me?
We hear you now.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, I was. I don't know what happened, but at any rate. Brother, thank you for sharing with us today. And we're going to mark this. We're going to put this recording on the homepage of Black Wall Street. We're going to call it a podcast, just a family podcast. But
hey, we're excited. So you get into nice. What you were saying?
Yeah.
God put in my spirit when I was looking I was looking at one of the videos, right? It came up on my YouTube page, and I seen they had a parade. I would love to do a parade right down here on the Golden Blocks. I know they were saying May. Is it May 31st?
Yeah, that's the
it's
parade
some kind
they
of
have
day they
every
have.
Year. Well, it's every year in Tulsa, but let's build your team. Because, you know, you're excited, and I'm glad you're excited, but I want you in the spirit and, you know, wisdom, because developing a district is it's a lot of work, a lot of people involved. But, yeah, I mean, you know.
Because
the
reason why I said that,
it's a short amount of time.
Right. The reason why I said that is because they got the Juneteenth. They allow us to do the Juneteenth parade, me and my partner started that. And also, yeah, the NAACP. But when we talk about, some people don't know about Black Wall Street. I'm talking about the older generations, the middle age.
Well, you remember what I said on the call last week. When I was in Oklahoma, I believe it was my fifth time there. Now, I was in my...
Right.
Late teens, early 20s, I was in college in Little Rock. But we came across people who were black, who lived
right.
in Oklahoma, and had never heard of what took place in 1921 or what the success of Black Wall Street. So let's brainstorm that off the call, and we can discuss that later. But, you know, make sure you run it through Director Evelyn Dieterville, who, by the way, is doing a magnificent job. Go to the Southeast Regional Facebook page, and you'll see she has a center in Century, Florida now for young people.
Mm-hmm.
And God is really just blessing this Black Wall Street movement. And I would that you would pray for each other, hold each other up, encourage one another, and find some way to advance somebody else's life. Find a way to enhance somebody else's life in some way, and find a way to elevate someone else. So until the spirit get off of me about this selfish, self-absorbed, narcissistic, you're going to continue to hear it. And unlike most pastors who try to preach sensitive sermons or they won't lose, I don't care if you turn your back on me, because there's going to always be somebody hungry. You're going to have spiritual hunger. And so I encourage you to learn what it takes to reach a higher level in God.
Right.
Learn what it takes. You just don't approach God. He have requirements. You know, just like women when they dating and they got requirements for men that they date. They just don't go out there and get any old rascal. So God has standards. He has requirements by which you get to him. And it all starts with humility. Right? So if you're around preachers, around bishops, apostles, or anybody who profess to be a preacher, you call them on this, because the only thing a preacher is supposed to be doing, if he's a true preacher sent by God, is telling you how to get closer to God. And there are 8 steps, and they are humility, penance, meekness, spiritual hunger, mercifulness, inward purity, peacemaking, and sacrificial suffering. That's it, and that's all. There's nothing else. Now, you have to go up these steps, just like you go up in this case of step anywhere, okay? But because we're human, we fall back down.
Mm-hmm.
And what got Adam in trouble in the garden is he fell down below humility. He had to start over again. So if you humble, you're going to deal with your sins, your wrongdoing. That's called penance. That means mourning. Blessed are they that mourn. That means you dealing with your stuff. And don't nobody care if you potty trained. People been potty trained for a long time and still can't get it right. So we're not going there. You got to deal with yourself. You got to bring in the pine salt and Clorox of the Holy Spirit to wash all that stuff away. That's what you got to do. That leads to meekness, which is power under control. That means you got the power, but you control meekness. Then meekness brings on an appetite. Starts the spiritual acids in your spiritual stomach to churning because now you got spiritual hunger. You want more. Like when Big Mama gave you your first taste of peach cobbler juice, you didn't have a tooth in your head, but she stuck her finger in that peach cobbler juice and wrapped it across your gums because you up in the high chair. And that's when you didn't learn the word daddy first. You didn't learn the word mama first. You learned more. I want more, more, more. That's why David say, oh, taste that seed that the Lord is good. So when you first get your taste of Jesus, oh, have mercy right now. Then that leads to mercifulness. Blessed are they that are merciful. They say, when you're merciful towards somebody, you're going to receive it back. Blessed are they that mercifulness. That's step five. Once you get to step five, getting closer to God, then you deal with inward purity. You don't want nothing on you, in you, around you that's impure, toxic, unholy. Watch your friends, watch your family, watch this, watch this. You don't want nothing around you that's tainting you. Dropping oil in your water, something toxic. Inward purity. Anybody can look clean on the outside. But what's going on in the inside?
Come on now.
Next one is peacemaking. You cannot be a peacemaker if there's no inward purity. You're not merciful. You have no spiritual hunger. You're not meek. You haven't dealt with your own stuff. And you ain't humble. There's no way you could be peace. At peace? See, peacemaking ain't just making peace with people on the external. Peacemaking starts within. There's no way you can offer peace to nobody if you got the storm and tornadoes of confusion on the inside. Then the
come
last
on,
that gets you right there. The last one to get you right there, huh? Getting you closer to God is sacrificial suffering. So you can complain about what you do for your kids. You can complain about what you do for your husband, what you do for your wife, what you do for this one, your mama, your daddy. You can complain about all of that if you want to. But you ain't getting close to God if you're not willing to live your various seasons. As sacrificial suffering come in seasons. When you don't want it to be there. When you ain't ready for it. When the sun ain't shining. Hell is coming down. Sacrificial suffering. Walking to work, letting the wife have a car, or vice versa. Sacrificial suffering. Missing something you enjoy for your trip. Huh? Sacrificial suffering. Who more is it for Christ to suffer than you? Who you think you are? You better get your suffering on. Suffering comes with rewards. And after these eight steps, it ain't over. You got 27 principles that you must live your life by. They're called spiritual columns. It's the structure that keeps your life upright and pointed in the direction of God, these 27. But you will not get to one of them 27 principles for the executable benefit if you don't go up these eight steps. Now, if you ever ask the question, what does Dr. Carter do? This is it right here. Don't call me about the website. Don't call me about your membership. Don't call me about all that other stuff. This right here is the reason you're on this call right now. So get it untwisted. Get closer to God. This is how you go about it. And at Arkansas Baptist, we couldn't preach nowhere in Arkansas. From Fort Blythe, from Blythe to Fayetteville, all the way over to Pine Bluff. From Eudora all the way up to Fort Smith. Fort Smith. or West Memphis, which is in Arkansas. You couldn't preach in McGee with the cotton fields. You couldn't preach in nowhere near Philander Smith or Arkansas Baptist College. You couldn't preach nowhere unless you knew Sermon on the Mount. So you better watch who you're following. Just because it's a church and you're in the pulpit, ask him to teach you this and see how far he gets. If he can't teach you this, you tell him to go back. Go on back, preacher. You say you're preaching, he go back. Go on back up there to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's the only thing he need to be teaching. Forget them tithes. Okay, all right. Okay, the Holy Spirit says start. All right, y'all. That's y'all lesson for today. And
but you know
God
what,
Pastor? Blessing to it. Yes, yes.
You know what? I would love to, you know, God just put in my spirit talking about we need to go on the fast because, you know, when the Bible says when you fast and pray, God will move things, the unexpectable, the unexpectable.
Because
I would love for us to go on the fast for Black Wall Street to have ask God to have his way to give us, to send us suitable people, to send his people who he wants on his team and to lead and taking them seats because everybody getting them seats just for a title. But if you going to do what you do it, if you going to do what you going to say do, or you go, you know.
But brother, we all in agreement. I really don't need to hear from nobody on here. We can boycott Target. We could fast. We could fast from them cigarettes, them your little Budweiser, and your little McDonald's, and stay out of them fast food, family. That's right. Dr. Potter said, I'm going on record. I'm gonna put it on the website. Stay out of McDonald's. Those are legal, cancer causing. Centers. Black folk didn't have no cancer back yonder way. If cancer hit the black community in any way in the 1880s, it was a rarity. Black folk didn't have cancer. When KFC, McDonald's, Jack in the Box, now I'm talking, Jack in the Box, the Pizza Hut, all this fast food getting in our system, then the colon cancer came, intestinal cancer came, because that's not for our bodies.
Yep.
And so the pharmaceutical industry and the fast food industry are dancing a waltz with your future. Stay out of there. Even Subway, stay out of there. You don't need to go to Subway. You better go in the backyard and plant you some greens and all the rest of it, peppers and tomatoes, and make your own. Stay out of all of it. Okay? We did not have cancer. We did not have it. I got it. Yeah.
I feel with grandma my collard greens.
Every time, there you go. Every time you get a chance to get on YouTube,
yes, sir.
Dr. Sabi. Everybody ought to have Dr. Sabi in their life. Just because he's gone physically, the man got volumes upon volumes. Yes, today I drink my 3 glasses of water in the morning. I'm 200 pounds. Okay, the moment I get up, I go straight to the kitchen, and pour me or get a bottle of filtered water and drink it all down. No matter how my head is feeling, because overnight the toxins have settled in your body, and you need to flush that out by 11. You know, get it all out. And that's the same with your soul. That's why we went over that lesson. Your soul needs to be flushed out. You can't keep that in there. You're really not going to be operating in your gift. But, okay, listen, people. I do need to get some rest here, but I'm going to ask, I don't know who left on here. There's a lot of people on here. Praise God. I'm going to ask Sister Rahima to pray us out, and then we're going to close today. But thank everybody for participating. We'll be here next Monday, same time. We went well over today, and we want to, again, thank Brother Daly for tutorials, and I thank everybody for participating. your love and your participation is valued. And we got everybody on here. We got Kentucky, Illinois, Oklahoma, Amen. New Jersey, South Carolina, Georgia, California. I mean, all your Texas, y'all on here. So thank you for being on today. Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, ooh, Lord. So we just thank you for participating. Mother Rahima, the matriarch of the Black Wall Street movement, and I mean that from my heart. If y'all only knew how hard she works, not just in our movement, but with the mentoring clinic and the Black Wall Street market and just keeping things spiritual and the focus on North Tulsa, we thank God for her. Would you pray us out, Lady Rahima Rahim?
Well, yes, sir, but you just prayed us out. Yes, sir. You just thank God for everything that we need to be thankful for. If your name, God, we thank you so much for the leadership that we have to help us to stay on the right path and know what the right path is. We certainly can't do anything with these gifts and work that we do if we don't have somebody kind of nudging us to keep us in line and reminding us of what you put into your books that we need to recognize and follow. That's where we get our strength, by reading the words that you have put down for us to understand and take time, and which is something that our leader always refers to. So we thank you, God, for our leadership. We thank you for the leadership in every state. We thank you for the leadership in every town. We thank you for the followers as well, because you sure can't do anything without some followers. A big head and no feet is not going to work. We have a lot of work to do, and we thank you also for the workers who may not have the vision, but they have the talent, they have the skills, they have a way of helping, even the autistic people. Brother Allah, we just thank you, because they're a test for us. They're a test for where our heart is. They're a test for what are we going to do. And so we thank you for the veterans, even the people who are on the street who don't even want to be in a building. They're there. I've talked to them. They're there because they just can't stay, be cooped up. So we've got to do something about this life that we're giving people. So we thank you, God, for just so much. I mean, like we used to say when we were little, first prayer we learned, thank you for, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything. We thank you, God, and we pray that we'll start that jubilee. One of the things we didn't do was follow your first instruction. One of your first instructions was to, replenish the earth and let it rest. We're not doing the jubilee like you gave it to us. God, please help us to get back to that so that we can find our way to your kingdom. In your precious name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for letting me share.